The Battle of Gettysburg and the Civil War were about freeing people from slavery, of course. Author Diane Glave says since that time, and even before, there have been stereotypes about African Americans and their connection to the natural world. She addresses this in her book, Rooted in the Earth, Reclaiming the African American Environmental Heritage. I recently sat down with Glave at a church in Pittsburgh where she's been serving as pastor to talk about some of the themes in her book. Thank you so much for talking with me.
I am so glad to be here with you.
You've written a book about African American environmental history, but tell me a little bit about your history. How did you get interested in this topic?
Well, it goes back actually to childhood. My grandparents, I would go and visit them in Jamaica, and they had a farm. And so that was one of my most visceral experiences of nature very early on. When maybe I was 5 or 6 years old, I remember a little fish in a cistern where rainwater was collected, and that was basically the water that we bathed in and drank. Just sort of visualized Jamaica, this beautiful place, and opportunities to go to the ocean. I mean, it's not like where I grew up, Queens, where it was a different sort of ocean. It was green and it was blue, it was emerald green.
One of the main points in your book is that there is this myth that African Americans are separate or separate themselves from the environment or the natural world. What are the roots of that myth?
I think some of the mythology is true. I think the roots are in the fact that Africans were pulled from their home in Africa, their own environment, and they were forced onto ships in the Middle Passage. And then they came here to the Americas, which included the Caribbean and the Northeast and the Southeast. And they were forced to labor on the land. So most were, you know, they were doing it to survive, but they didn't connect in that way. I also think that the mythology is wrong because of the roots that come out of Africa and the expertise that Africans brought to the Americas, including rice production. They were telling the slaveholders how to do the rice production because they brought it from Africa.
Your book goes into this very deep history of how some African Americans in the past have been afraid or have negative feelings about nature, not just agricultural history of the plantation South and enslavement, but from the ocean and the woods. But this comes out of the history of enslavement and forced labor. Can you say a little bit more about that?
I remember when I worked at a university down in Louisiana, and a gentleman, he was white, he asked me to step in with a family. He wanted to take some children out into the ocean, into the Gulf. And the mother, African-American mother, refused to send her son, and he wanted me to arbitrate the situation and kind of push her to let the son go out into the ocean. And I said to him, I'm not going to do that because the history of Africans and African-Americans in a place like Louisiana goes deep. It's a little bit more shallow in other places because they've retained their Africanisms. And there may be a story that goes all the way back to the Middle Passage in which, you know, ancestors were brutalized and they went through a horrible experience. And in some ways, even in a small way, it's been retained from generation to generation, the fear of water. In the context of the woods, where Africans who were enslaved, they were tracked in the woods. And you had whites and perhaps other blacks working for the whites, tracking them down with dogs. So it wasn't always synonymous with being a safe place.
So you're a pastor, you have a religious role. What about spirituality and religion as it relates to the environment in history and during the times of enslavement or afterwards or even before?
There was a tension that evolved between whites and blacks, especially during enslavement. And in order for Africans and African Americans to meet at all, they went to places called brush harbors where they went to worship. And they went into the woods to have conversations because slaveholders and even folks, even whites in the late 19th and early 20th century, they had black codes. They did not want blacks gathering together because they were concerned that there would be revolt and that there would be violence. So African Americans turned to green spaces in order to gather together and also to agitate.
And also, we talked a little bit about the fear that some African Americans may have of wooded or wild places, but there was also that hope of escape, that the woods or wild places would lead to freedom.
Oh, definitely. That's the flip side. Africans, those who were enslaved, really, many of them knew the land outside of the plantation, I mean, they knew the pathways, they knew the trees, they knew what was poisonous, what wasn't, and they developed the skill and the ability, and some of it they drew from Africa, to live off the land for extended periods of time. And I'm thinking about, I think they're called Maroons in Jamaica. They went deep into the Caribbean landscape, hiding from the British, and they did that permanently. And the British weren't able to track them down because they didn't know the land as intimately as those Jamaicans who had fled the plantations.
The second part of the title of your book, Rooted in the Earth, is reclaiming the African-American environmental heritage. How can people do that?
I think there's so many ways. I think that I'm a... I don't know if I'd say I was reclaiming, but last summer I went to my first national park. I encountered one African American or an African when I was in Montana at Glacier National Park. I can't tell you what a profound experience it was to actually see a glacier before they're gone. And I know for me that spiritually and mentally, I'm better when I'm outdoors. You know, I remember when I was living in New Orleans, people would sit on their stoop or they'd sit on their porch in front of their houses. And there was a banana tree behind the double shotgun that I was living in. And I would just go and sit there, and just that little tree would soothe me. So I don't think that people need to spend the kind of money. If you can afford it, that's great. But you don't need to spend that kind of money. It's right there with you.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here with you. I appreciate it.
That was Diane Glave, the author of Rooted in the Earth, Reclaiming the African-American Environmental Heritage. She recently stepped into the role of Coordinator of Diversity Development for the United Methodist Center here in southwestern Pennsylvania. For links to Glave's work, visit our website, alleghenyfront.org. This is The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.